This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Washington brings pressure. Brady incomplete for Brate. And it was Jonathan Allen in the backfield to help deter Tom Brady. Allen's had another good day.
Adam Amin on the call on Fox as John Allen tormented Tom Brady early on, set the tone for the Washington football team. After the game, Bruce Arians said, when asked why Brady struggled, well, he got hit hard a couple times early in the game. That changed everything. The guy that put him on his ass was John Allen.
It
was
93 did it.
BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Our guest number 3 in pass rush grade via PFF among D tackles in the entire league. Number 4 in pressures. Number 2 in quarterback hits. Number 7 in hurries. Number 5 in pass rush win rate. Now, there's not a category where John Allen doesn't look like a Pro Bowler at the top of his game. John, we're Grant and Danny. Good to have you back on the show, man. How are you?
Hey, how about yourself? Appreciate you for having me.
We're doing great, man. Not as well as you, though. What kind of year do you feel like you're personally having? I know the record isn't where you want it, but just it jumps off. I'm just watching on TV, and you jump off the screen. It seems like every other play, you're in the backfield wreaking havoc. How do you feel about your performance thus far?
I think I've been playing good football, blessed enough to make a bunch of plays to help this team win some football games. Obviously hoping that as a team we can finish strong. I think last week was a good step in the right direction. And, I'm definitely blessed to be in the position I'm at, but at the end of the day, I'm in this business to win football games.
It's funny, John, and we'll get into the winning the football games part and what Sunday meant to you in a second. But last year you had 2 sacks. And because of that, I think people said, I don't know, John Allen didn't have a great season. One of the things we talk about on the show all the time is if in a vacuum you looked at all of your pressure numbers that weren't sacks, like that should have probably been a 6 or 7 sack season. I wonder, and it's funny to ask you now as you have 6 and one of the leaders at your position in the league, like what that stat even means to you compared to some of the other stuff and how you statistically evaluate yourself, sacks versus like pressures, hurries, those types of things.
I don't think you can look at sacks solely for an interior defensive tackle and determine if you had a good or bad season based on that. I feel like this year I'm rushing very similar to what I did last year, but things are just falling for me now. So that doesn't mean I'm playing better football this year than I was last year. It just means I was able to finish on the quarterback a little bit better this year. Sacks are very situational. If you win every single one of your pass rush reps, but the DBs are struggling behind you, you're not going to get a lot of sacks. If you're rushing well and the inside of your ends aren't doing their job and they break contain, you're not going to get a lot of sacks. So I'm not a fan of basing my performance solely on how many sacks I have. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we get paid to get sacks, so it feels good to actually have a couple of them drop this year.
Pressures, hurries, like win rate, is there one of those numbers that you care about if you had to kind of – well, like what's the best way to determine DT play in your opinion then?
In my opinion, the film. I feel like the eye and sky never lies, and it's very hard to see how good a player is playing based on numbers alone. I think they can tell a story but not the whole story. So I think film is the best way to do it, and obviously I know for the – average fan is not really possible to watch film specifically how we watch it. But for guys who know football and guys who really break down football, watching film is the best way to determine how a player is playing.
Yeah, John Allen with us here on Grant and Danny. Among defensive tackles, he's tied for 2nd in the league with some nobody named Aaron Donald in terms of some of those sacks and the tackle for loss numbers. The havoc is obvious and it's there. Do you feel like you've grown as a pass rusher? Or maybe just generally as a defensive tackle, as a havoc wreaker? Is it maybe less about holding the point of attack and now just about beating the guy in front of you and disrupting the offense? Do you feel like you've grown in that way?
I feel like I've grown when it comes to play recognition. I feel like that's a big part in playing good football as a defensive tackle. Knowing, based on formations, what kind of plays you're going to get, when you have an opportunity to take a shot, and what a lot of people would consider a run down. And just really understanding football from the eyes of an offense of what they're trying to accomplish and what they're trying to do. And I think that's helped me out a lot this year.
What can you do now that maybe you couldn't have a couple of years ago when you first came into the league?
I really think my consistency is what's making me, allowing me to make some of the plays I've been making. My rookie year, I definitely would make some great plays, but then I would go kind of spurs where I really wasn't effective. And that's one thing I really try to pride myself on is being a guy, even if I'm not making sacks, I'm still impacting the game and affecting the game. And that's kind of what I try to do day in and day out.
The Washington football team got John Allen paid this offseason, and it looks like a contract now where they're getting probably more value than they even paid for, even though they gave him a bunch of money. You know, we're used to around here guys get paid and then the production falls off, and I get it. Like, I leave the doctor's office, John, and he tells me something good. I'm stopping and getting fast food on the way. I'm like, well, shoot, nothing really matters. I'm fat, but I'm fine, I guess. What did you do to stay motivated and maybe even get hungrier? Because if I got paid, I might have taken an extra day off here and there in my preparation, getting ready for the season.
Yeah, you know, I would like to think, I mean, you would think that that's how it would be, but after I got paid, I felt there was even more pressure to prove that I deserved the contract and to live up to the contract and not become someone who got paid and didn't work. And I was always, and I'm always working towards not being that kind of football player. So even though I have received a second contract and I'm definitely blessed for that, I wouldn't say there's any less pressure on me now as opposed to before I got the contract.
John Allen with us here on Grant and Danny. John, listen, I'm bummed for both of the guys. Obviously, Chase with that injury this past week, and Montez Sweat with that jaw thing. So all of a sudden, you're looking to left and right, and it's guys that maybe weren't supposed to be next to you all the time, but now they are. Does that change anything about what you're going to do, and how do you kind of help those young pass rushers along?
I don't think it's going to change anything what I do. We have the utmost confidence in them. You know, obviously, you wish Sweat and Chase were there. But I have the utmost faith in Casey Tuhill and James Smith Williams, and I've played with them in training camp and going back to last year. So I think we're going to be fine. I think they're going to go out there and play hard and surprise a lot of people.
Your confidence in not having a drop-off seems high, but where does that come from? Is it preseason performance or the film that you talk about? Like, what about James Smith Williams or Casey Tuhill do you think allows for them to still make a big impact?
I think what I see day in and day out, and the time they have went into the game, what I've seen them do, I think that's where my confidence comes from. So super excited for them. I really think they're going to play good football for us this season, for the rest of the season.
So speaking of good football, I thought you guys were tremendous this past Sunday against Tampa. A, do you feel like that was your best defensive game of the season and kind of what allowed you guys to do that?
I definitely do think it was our best defensive game of the season. I feel like we limited how many plays we gave them. And, you know, we look back at a lot of the games that we lost, I feel like we gave our opponents too many free yards, too many free points by miscommunication, not really being on the same page. And good defenses don't do that. You know, they make you earn everything you get. So I'm really pleased with how we played. But, you know, that was last week. We have a new set of challenges ahead of us. And, we're going to have an opportunity to do some good things this week, and I'm excited about it.
Because it was the defending champions and it was Brady, does any part of you guys say, well, shoot, if we can play that way against that team, why can't we do that this week against Carolina with a worse offense or whatever team it is? I mean, or do you just view it as it's a week-to-week league, it was a good matchup for whatever reason, it worked out our way, let's not think too much about it? Like, how do you view that as a measuring stick?
I definitely think we view it as our standard. It's something that we can achieve week in and week out, but it depends on how we practice week in and week out. I feel like last week was our best week of practice all year, and I think it showed and translated to the game. Offense did a good job, and as a team, we played good complementary football. So I think we want to, you know, replicate those results from last Sunday. We have to have the same type of practice, or week of practice that we had last week. And, you know, we had a good start today.
John, I know Carolina isn't in the division or anything, but it's also – It's kind of a crazy set of circumstances, right? Ron Rivera and the staff going back to Carolina. Cam Newton is now back in Carolina. It's like a rewind to 2017, kind of all over again. Just the story sort of writes itself there. They're fighting for a playoff spot the way you guys are. But this one, you know, it's going to mean a little bit more to some folks. What have you kind of experienced and sort of felt in that regard? And what kind of challenges does Carolina bring?
I mean, their running attack is phenomenal. Christian McCaffrey is everything he's hyped up to be. And I think for the players, it's important not to really buy into all the media hype. At the end of the day, this is another game. Obviously, it's going to be emotional. But we have a job to do. We get paid to do that job, and it's our job to go out there and execute regardless of the stories, regardless of the circumstances, and I think we're going to have an opportunity to. So I'm excited about it. We're really excited about it.
John, I'm going to ask what could be a dumb question here, but I'm just curious for you on the inside as a D-tackle when you're going up against read option. You guys struggled a little bit with Daniel Jones. You made some corrections, did a lot better, I thought, against Josh Allen. You know that Carolina and Cam Newton, they ran it this past week. That's going to be a part of what they do. I always think of it as kind of the pressures on the ends. Like, they've got the big assignment, and then you guys play things similarly to how you normally would on the inside. Is that fair when you're talking about read option in terms of your responsibility or no?
Yeah, I would definitely say that's fair. I mean, Cam Newton's going to present a major challenge, and our ends are going to have a big opportunity to make some plays. It's not going to be an easy job, but they're going to be up for it. And as a defensive tackle, it's my job to make sure the gap doesn't get too big, and I help squeeze it off. So, I mean, my job is to help the ends in that situation, and they're going to be just fine. They're going to be just fine.
John, this is going to be a question that will probably annoy you, and it's beneath you, all right? But just me as a football fan, I've never understood something about read option when it comes to defending it. To me, if the offense is going to expose their quarterback for a single second, it's so impossible to hit those guys because you get fined $1 million and they want to throw 15-yard penalties for just normal hits and plays. If that guy's going to pretend to have the football, I kind of don't care about a 4 or 5 yard gain. Hit that quarterback so hard. Why isn't a coach that way, and why don't defenses take advantage of that?
I mean, I definitely think that's a method you can take. When you commit that many guys to the box, you're leaving yourself open for audibles or RPO. So, I mean, trust me, I would love to do nothing but just unstopped shots at the quarterback. But it's a little bit more complex than that, especially when you have quarterbacks like Cam Newton, yeah, and Kyler Murray, and quarterbacks who run these zone reads and recognize when a blitz is coming and can change the play to get them out of certain situations. So, I mean, it sounds good, and that's definitely a route. But, I mean, football is a game of chess. You know, when they make a move, we adjust. When we make a move, they adjust. And it's kind of a back-and-forth kind of thing.
John, you're playing at a Pro Bowl level. It would be criminal, at least based on the pace you're on now, if things continue, if you weren't in the Pro Bowl. What would that mean for you? Several years into your career now, after that big contract, to kind of put yourself on the map finally as a Pro Bowler. You've played at the level where you should have been in consideration in the past, but right now, the season ended, you'd definitely be going. You're such a team guy. I don't know. Do you even care about that accolade? Is that something that matters to you?
I mean, I would definitely be lying if I said it didn't matter to me. I mean, anytime your peers and the coaches around the league think you played at a good enough level to make the Pro Bowl, I mean, it's an honor, and I would love to have it. Is that my main focus? Not at all. My main focus is to help this team get to the playoffs and play damn good football. But, I mean, like I said, I'll be lying if I said I didn't care about it at all. I mean, obviously I do. Obviously I want my peers to think highly of me. And, you know, it's not really something I'm focusing on because I want to be able to continue to play at a high level. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I want to achieve before my time in the NFL is done.
You keep doing what you're doing, and you'll go to a bunch of them. I'll tell you that much. John, as we sort of head down the stretch, this win against Tampa was a huge deal for a million reasons, but it put you guys kind of in a position to have some really meaningful football kind of down the stretch. You're playing against teams that you're competing directly with for the postseason, potentially, then the five division games with that quirky sort of end-of-season schedule. Just talk about the potential here. Talk about what's on the table for you guys in making a bit of a run to go to the postseason.
No, I mean, last week was definitely a step in the right direction for us. There's a lot of football left to be played. And as a player, all you can ask for is really to play meaningful football in November and December. Because I've been a part of teams where in November, December, you know you're not going, and it's tough. So, I mean, obviously we wish we could have had a better start to the season. But last week was huge, and now, you know, we're looking to continue and build off of it and not get too ahead of ourselves and look towards the playoffs. There's a lot of football to be played before then, but 1 week at a time, I think we have a great opportunity to really go out here and, you know, put two wins together in a row and, you know, see what happens. But it all starts with Carolina.
John Allen, not surprisingly, as we talked to him now, is on his way to do some charity work in town. I think he was doing something today with Joe Gibbs's youth for tomorrow. It's really, really cool that you're taking part in that. As always, I know you do a lot of good work. Real quick, before I let you go, I want to tap into the college football fan and the Alabama alum that is John Allen. You guys are second, I think, in the college football playoff rankings right now. I'm curious, do you like the playoff system as it's currently set up? Like, you're the commissioner of college football, the czar for a day. Are you expanding it? You keeping it at four? Are you doing something else? Like, what do you think of it right now?
I don't know. I genuinely believe that as much as I love the SEC, I think SEC is making it very hard to watch football just because they have been so dominant. And I don't know if adding more teams would be a solution. I think adding more teams will solve a lot of the issues. But in college football right now, anything past the top five teams, more than likely, there's really no other shot for a team to win the national championship. I mean, let's just think about it this year. How many teams do we genuinely believe have a chance to win the national championship? Georgia, Alabama, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, maybe.
Oregon, maybe.
The dark Oregon, you know what I mean? So, like, once you expand to eight and maybe even 10 teams, whatever that may be, I feel like, I don't know, the playoffs made a lot of the bowl games meaningless. And for a college football fan, if we're watching two teams who, in the back of our mind, we know aren't going to compete for a national championship, it makes it tough.
But, like, so would you want to really see a Cincinnati? Like, a lot of people, I go back and forth on Cincinnati because my point is, if they can't get in, then what the hell's the point of this thing anyway? If they could just have an undefeated season, beat Notre Dame, and they can't get in. But at the same time, if you're asking me, if Cincinnati right now at 10-0 played, I'll just pick a random team, but like 9-1 Ohio State, well, of course I think Ohio State should win. So shouldn't that mean they would get in over them? I don't know what to think about. Like, should Cincinnati have a shot?
I think they should have a shot, but one thing that's tough is the college football committee said they're choosing the best four teams. They didn't say they're choosing the most deserving team. Does Cincinnati deserve to get in? Probably. They're undefeated. They want everybody in their schedule. But if you're looking at the teams and you're choosing the best four teams and your life's on the line, nobody is choosing Cincinnati. And that's no shot at them.
That's true. Yes. No, you're right about that. There's
the college football people who decided they're choosing the best four teams, which aren't always the most deserving teams. So to fix this, I think they should expand it a little bit. But I still think we're going to really run into the same problems. You know what I mean? So I really don't know what the fix is right now.
A counter proposal might be just to have all the smart people get together in a room and pick one team to play Alabama in November and just call it that. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. But this year, Alabama has had a bunch of consistency issues. So I'm looking forward to the Alabama Georgia game. Georgia, they're the best team in college
they're
football
nasty.
Right now.
I just think we've seen that movie so many times,
haven't we?
We just watched it a bunch.
The hero wins, you know, like it's well.
I know how it's going to end.
A lot of CGI.
Yeah, so I'm very interested to see how that SC championship goes. It's going to be a fun game.
Best versus deserving is a sharp way. I mean,
that's a great
really
way to put
good
it.
Analysis. I get steamed up for Jonathan Allen, the college football analyst. Put him on ESPN and have him break down the committee with Reese and the crew on College Game Day.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate you, man. Thanks for a couple of minutes. And seriously, keep it up. You'll end up in the Pro Bowl and hopefully
great,
string together some wins here.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Well. It was John Allen on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I thought that was awesome insight from him on college football.
That is the best way to quantify it that I've heard.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else has said that and I just haven't heard it. But that was just so salient. I get it, because that's the debate without using those two exact words that we've heard that he just said a million times, where it's basically like, if this group that's deserving can't do it, or this team, every year there's a UCF, there's a Boise State, this year it's Cincinnati, or whatever it is. If they can't get it, then what's the point? Well, best versus deserving, and they're putting out the best.
Good luck not getting steamed up for John Allen.
He's a star.
Love him. Ryan was doing a lot of shtick, a lot of laughing, very happy talking to John Allen after the interview. And I look over, and Darius was livid, shaking his head and furious. I got to get to the bottom of exactly what happened. Because Ryan, on cloud nine,
yep,
you got to see what the conversation was. And Darius was just very upset, very clearly. There was some animosity there. We'll do that next. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.